Hello, it's Ed Gamble here from the Off-Menu podcast that you're currently listening to. I am on tour now. The show is called Hot Diggity Dog. Make sure you go and get yourself a ticket. I'm probably coming to a town near you if you live in the UK and Ireland. And Ireland, Dublin and Belfast. Do go to edgamble.co.uk, buy yourself a ticket, and I'll see you for an evening of Hot Diggity Dog.
Hot Diggity Dog!
Thank you, James.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Welcome to the Off-Menu podcast, taking the white bread of conversation, spreading on the butter of humour, slicing the cheese of the internet, and adding a healthy dose of the pickle of friendship, James.
That sounds like a cheese and pickle sandwich to me.
Cheese and pickle podcast.
That is a gamble. My name is James Acaster. Together we own a dream restaurant, and every single week we invite in a guest and ask them their favourite ever starter, main course, dessert, side dish and drink, not in that order. And this week our guest is...
C-Mat, a brilliant musician. She's got a brilliant album called Crazy Mad for Me.
Don't forget the comma, Ed. And Crazy Mad is one word.
Crazy Mad for Me.
Very good.
Thank you very much. She is touring later this year as well, James.
Yes, very exciting. The album's great. You should check it out if you haven't heard it.
Absolutely.
And you should go and get tickets to the tour as well.
Yes, and I am reliably informed that she is a foodie, James. She knows her stuff.
Yes, which is that's very important for the touring life, of course. So Hopefully that will serve her well on the road. We'll hear all about that. I mean, I hope that we get some dishes from around the world, maybe, if as a touring musician.
She's travelling around. But we are big fans of C-Mat, sure.
So are all of our girlfriends.
So are all of our girlfriends.
This is for you. This is for you.
Are we dedicating this to our girlfriends, are we?
Yeah, your wife, Benito's civil partner. And my girlfriend.
What a complicated, just the women in our lives.
This is for you. We couldn't do this without you. We love you. You changed our lives.
I can't wait for you to win an Oscar.
Yeah.
Would you do that in your Oscar speech?
I'd do that in my Oscar speech.
Yeah, yeah.
I'd say for all of our partners.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah.
For Ed Gamble's wife.
We couldn't do what we do without you.
The great Benito civil partner.
Yeah, yeah.
And my girlfriend. I couldn't do what I did without you.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
I love you, you changed my life.
If C-Mat says a secret ingredient that we have pre-agreed upon, then she will be kicked out of the dream restaurant. And look, often it's an ingredient we think is disgusting, but sometimes it relates directly to the guest's work. And it's one of those today, because the secret ingredient is
KFC.
I didn't know you were going to do it like that. I didn't know you were going to go KFC, because no one says it like that.
What? Everyone says it like that.
Do you?
So is that in Kettering?
Is it?
Yeah.
Kettering Fried Chicken.
KFC. Because the football club are called Kettering Town FC.
Yeah.
KTFC.
Yeah.
So if you say KFC too fast, people think you go, they mishear it.
Yeah.
Think you're going to the football. So we have to spell that out. KFC.
Well.
Kentucky Fried Chicken.
C-Mat has a song called Another Day, brackets KFC.
Yeah.
I've been to a KFC with you before, James.
Yep, you filmed me ordering and they told you to stop filming.
Yes, they did. Respect to the people at KFC.
Full respect. We couldn't do what we do without you.
We love you so much.
You changed our lives.
This is the Off-Menu Menu of C-Mat. Wow. Welcome, C-Matt, to the Dream Restaurant.
Hiya.
Welcome, C-Matt, to the Dream Restaurant. We've been expecting you for some time.
Cool. Thank you. Have you? Have you known who I am for some time?
Since before you were born.
Oh.
Well, James is a genie, so he sort of hovers above all of time and space.
Yeah. Do you know my mum?
Yeah.
What's her name?
D-Matt.
Yeah.
It shouldn't be D-Matt, though, should it? It should be B-Matt.
Fuck.
Why? Why B-Matt?
Because that comes before C-Matt in the alphabet.
Yeah, it should be B-Matt, really.
And your grandmother is A-Matt.
Yeah. That's your grandmother?
Yeah.
I don't know your mum. Do you know your mum?
Yeah. Her name is Sinead.
Sinead. And what's Sinead into?
She loves running.
Yeah.
She did loads of marathons back in the day, although her ankles are a bit in bits now because of it. And she really wants me to not run marathons, which is fine because I don't want to do that.
She makes you promise not to run marathons.
Yeah. And she loves, unfortunately, she doesn't love it anymore. But when I was growing up, I mean, if we're going to talk about food, my mother's really not a good cook, bless her, because she was well into the Weight Watchers things. So there was a lot of prepackaged food, a lot of curly whirly bars put in the freezer and then smashed up into little bits, and we weren't allowed to have them. And it was like a Weight Watchers thing where you'd break up a bit of the chocolate and then have a little bit throughout the day so that your sweetness was satiated, but you were only having 100 calories, that kind of thing.
Wow.
Yeah.
When you said curly whirly in the freezer and smashed up, I was like, that sounds quite good.
That sounds good if you have it in one go.
Yeah, yeah. Or as a topping on ice cream.
You're saving it throughout the day. Yeah. Topping on ice cream.
That's exactly what I thought. Yeah. Straight away. Put it on a Sunday.
No, it's actually sadder than that. Yeah. But yeah, I feel like my very intense affinity for food culture and my love of food in general is a continuing act of teenage rebellion. Mm-hmm. In a way, I feel like I got really into weird food really performatively when I was a teenager, to be like, I'm not like you. And then
was there any particular bits of items of food that would really stick it to your ma?
I don't think it's sticking it to her anymore, because she's a nice person and is oh, that's great that my daughter likes things. She's not she's not a bitch. No. Am I allowed to swear on this?
Yeah, go for it.
She's not a fucking bitch.
I wasn't saying she was a bitch.
You calling Sinead a bitch?
No. Unbelievable.
I didn't think Sinead was a bitch.
C-Matt's been on here for 3 minutes and you've called her mum a bitch.
She is. No, she's not. She's legend. But I feel like anything, and this is a word that my boyfriend uses all the time, unctuous. Uh-huh. Anything unctuous, do you know? Butter, stock, salt, anything that's absolutely laden with fat was illegal in Ireland diet culture world of the 2000s to early 2010s. Mm-hmm. So using butter in general was
it's nice that butter got two shout outs there in the list.
Yeah, butter.
I can't stress enough the importance of butter.
You don't need to tell us, but let's talk about butter for a minute.
I spend probably an inordinate amount of money on butter in my adult life because I like to get the one that's really posh. Have you ever seen that video of that French man who owns a butter factory, the handmade butter factory?
But I like the fact it's referred to as that video of it's something that everyone knows.
Well, it's a bit of a sacred text for me because I've probably watched this video easily 200 times in my life, and I put it on when I'm drunk, and it's all in French, but his name is Monsieur Bourdier, and he owns Bourdier Butter. Uh-huh. And every time he talks about butter, he starts to cry. And he hand cranks it through a malaxage machine. It's the only one left. It's the only original one left from the 1500s. And he makes his men use it because he's if there's no love in the butter, then I don't want it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And he genuinely cries about 3 times during this video about how proud he is of the butter that he makes.
But so his job is to make this butter. He's making it all day.
Yeah.
How often is he crying? How do you cry about something you're doing all day?
I guess it was he was being filmed. Mm. And so he was reflecting on his life's work, and he was just overwhelmed at how much he loves his life's work, because it is just butter.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But it is absolutely incredible. And you can only really get it in France, because they don't send it overseas, because they're no, that's going to ruin it. It's going to ruin the butter. Yeah. I think maybe you can get it in some dodgy places. Black market Bourdier. Yeah. But it's all handmade. It's all little paddles. And he's like, I could make money. I don't want money. I want to be a nice little man who has nice little butter. And he just goes on about it.
Is that a quote?
It's like a translation of the French where he calls himself a nice little man who makes nice little butter.
Right, and well, again, he's I love him.
Intermittently crying during this whole video. Yeah. I will send it to you at some point. Yeah. It's, I'll find it. I'm immediately going to find it afterwards.
But have you had this butter before?
No, I haven't. I haven't been able to find it. And I go to Paris semi-frequently because of music. And every single time, I probably dedicate about a half an hour to trying to just like find. I'm like, okay, I have a half an hour between soundcheck and whatever. Let me walk around and see if I could probably put more effort in. But yeah. I think it has to be as magical as I think it's going to be. But they do loads of different flavors. They do like seaweed. So you put seaweed through it. And he just like a chili. But he does like loads of flavor butters and then like salted, unsalted.
Wow.
I think about it all the time.
Yeah.
Yeah. And now I'm going to.
Yeah.
I mean, also once on the podcast a while ago, we had Joe Thomas on and he mentioned a guy called Willie who did a show called Willie's A Perfect Chocolate Christmas. And we ended up doing an episode with Willie and Joe in the future. So you and the little butter man, maybe we'll do a special in the future if we can track him down.
That would be great crack because he definitely doesn't speak English. Yeah. And I think that could add a level of tension to the podcast.
But we'll know when he's talking about butter because he'll burst
start crying.
Into tears. Yeah.
Monsieur Bourdier. Oh, what a man.
Nice little man.
I love him so much.
Would you say you're crazy mad for butter? Linking into the promo.
Yeah.
That's good. That's a good link, right?
I thought it was good.
Yeah, not bad.
It was all right.
Now, but for it to be a good link, what would happen there is you'd very then smoothly move into the actual promo rather than just talking for ages about the link itself, because now it's not a link. Now you're going to have to awkwardly gear shift into talking about the album.
But I thought you would like pick up the baton. The baton.
Okay, I'll pick up the baton. Your new album is called Crazy Mad For Me.
It is called Crazy Mad For Me. And it's been a bit of a wild ride recently because I was like, oh yeah, I'm going to release an album and then it's just going to plop out. And then the people who like me will be like, oh yeah, that's a good album. Mm-hmm. And then I'll just continue on. But it seems, I think because of a couple of television appearances that I've done recently, that there is now like 10 times the amount of people looking at and listening to me, and that is a bit terrifying and keeps me awake at night.
It's weird, that sort of thing, isn't it? Because I think we all get that working in like creative industries where you've got people who really like your stuff, and you're like, great, well they'll enjoy something I do, and the aim should be for more people to see it, but then you're like, oh no, other people, strangers.
Then it happens and I'm like, fuck.
Yeah. More casual people who might just end up going, oh, have a little listen to this.
Yeah, and I think it's an interesting one because, like, what I do is definitely niche. Like, I find it even funny that I'm on, like, this podcast doing things that normal people who have normal jobs in media do, because I don't really consider myself in that bracket of people, if you know what I mean. Like, because my music is, like, weird, but then people seem to be enjoying it, so I don't really know what's going on. Like, I have songs about, like, Vince and Company and stuff. Do you know what I mean? And then it's also about me cutting all my hair off when I lived in Manchester and then taping it to the wall because I had a complete mental breakdown. And it's also country music, but it also sounds like Meatloaf. So it's like, I find the whole thing that's been happening recently very puzzling because I didn't think it was going to happen.
I guess a lot of people will have done all those things separately, maybe one of those things. And people like country music, people like Meatloaf.
Like, you know, loads of massive pop stars are weird and sing about weird things. And like now genre is like not even a thing. People do mashup stuff now. So people are way more open now to things like that.
Yeah.
You know, it's great.
Yeah, it is great. It is great. But it's just it feels like it's now starting to move out the niche. And I'm like, what's honest then?
I think the big leap is like when you say like 10 times as many.
Yeah.
That's not like, because I think what we've experienced as comedians is like by increments each time.
Yeah, tiny increments.
So I've never had it. I've never experienced what you're talking about, where suddenly it's like, bam, like 10 times as many people. And that is like
and
mad.
What's weird is that's happened in like the last 2 to 3 weeks, right? Like I also had that incremental build. Like I've been working for years with nothing happening. And then first single as CMAT, like had like a little bit of a, like, you know, I probably had 3,000 followers or something like that. And everyone was enjoying it, was having a great time. But like 2 weeks ago we were on the Graham Norton show and it's literally been nonstop since then. And that's been crazy because I just like hang out in my house and do things. And then my mom would be like, this person was talking about you and this person was talking about you and this person was talking about you. And I'm like, great.
that's when you know things have got bigger, if your mum knows people who are talking about you.
Oh yeah. Mm-hmm. The way that I know that I'm on the road to making it is that my local pub, Brady's in Dunboyne, shout out Brady's in Dunboyne, absolute best pint of Guinness in probably the world, 100 million percent. Wow. Dunboyne County Meath. They have all these like cabinets in the pub. It's like a long pub. They've all these cabinets in the pub and like framed photographs on the wall, and it's all just like, do you know GAA? It's like Irish football.
Oh, yeah.
It's like Gaelic football, yeah. Irish football. So there's like GAA teams, hurling teams, another Irish sport. There's like a rugby player called Trevor Brennan who has his own cabinet because he's won loads of trophies playing for Ireland. But he's not even from Dunboyne, so I don't even really know how he got there. But all these things. And now there is me.
Got your own cabinet.
I don't have my own cabinet, but I'm working towards it.
I've been
considering, because I have a lot of trophies and stuff, right? Because I've got 2 number one album trophies now, and I've got a Choice Music Prize. And I'm kind of just like, if I just give them all to Brady's and Dunboyne, will they give me a cabinet? Will they kick out Trevor Brennan and give me my own cabinet? Because that, for me, is the mark of success.
Kicking out Brennan.
Yeah. Kicking out the rugby players and the ladies team. Get out of there. 1996. No one remembers you. Yeah. Leave. That's my plan.
What do you think you'd have to get for them in order? Because I mean, what you've already listed is enough, but you
it
know.
Should be enough. But maybe if I got like an Ivor Novello or something nice. Some songwriting award or something. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't know.
I don't feel like that's going to sway them, to be honest.
No.
I don't think the Ivor Novello is what's going to put you over the edge at the pub.
I think it might be when you play on the Graham Norton show, you get a tote bag that says the Graham Norton show on it.
That's more likely to be that.
If I give them that, do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And then put stuff inside of it.
Yeah. And you've come on here and said it's the best pint of Guinness in the world. That's...
Yeah.
Genuinely, and I don't know if that's because of obviously nostalgia and where it is and myself, but I've never had a better pint of Guinness in my life, and I've drank a significant amount of Guinness in my life. I've never had a better pint than in Brady's.
Is that where you had your first pint of Guinness, was in Brady's?
No, I don't think so. I would have had it in Whelan's in the music pub in Dublin. Yeah, definitely would have had my first pint in Whelan's and not enjoyed it that much. But Guinness is an acquired taste. So when you first drink Guinness, you're like, this is disgusting. Right. Why do families get ruined by it? And then, sorry, I don't know why that's the first thing that came to my mind. Why our entire empire is built on this horrible black liquid. And then it takes you.
Well, I mean, my first pint in Guinness would have been in a terrible pub in London.
Yeah. Ugh.
And I was still like, hey, this is nice. So imagine what I'm going to be like if I go to Brady's.
Have you ever had a pint of Guinness in Ireland?
Yes.
Okay, well then you probably
have had some
approximation of a good pint of Guinness, because I was worried that you've only drank it in London.
No, and I've drunk it in nicer places in London as well, where everyone says it's better. But also, I've had it in Ireland, and it is, you know, it probably is better. But I'm starting to think that's a myth.
It's not a myth. It's actually the fucking truth, and I will not sit here and listen to an Englishman tell me that.
Yes.
There's no discrepancy between quality of Guinness country, because there is.
But what is it?
I was trying to remember, because I was like, I've had a conversation with someone recently who insisted that it's not different. And who was it? And I've just remembered it was Ed.
I choose violence sometimes, and that's...
I was opposing his point of view.
Well, thank you, James.
Along with my friend who insists it's different, and always when they say they're going to go to Dublin, they always put on an Irish accent and say, I'm going to have a pint of... the black stuff.
Okay, well, that I'm not loving, but thank you for your general Irish solidarity.
That's not Ed, but that's a friend.
I'll tell
of
you
ours.
Why I started rebelling against this point of view, because in England, that's something that English wankers say, where they're having a pint of Guinness and they'll go, I'll tell you what, it's much better in Ireland, actually. You've not had Guinness unless you've gone to Ireland.
Mm.
Like tossers say that.
Okay, I see that. Mm. I see that. However, it is, because there's two things with it, right? One is travel time.
Mm.
Guinness has to be like fresh. Mm-hmm. It has to like be quite fresh. That's why I was just in Chicago recently, and they've just gotten a Guinness brewery. I think it's the first one outside of Dublin.
Oh, wow.
They built it in Chicago, which is absolutely hilarious to me that they were like, it's going to be Chicago. But also, because of the freshness, you need to get rid of the keg quite quickly. It can't sit there, right? People very predominantly only drink Guinness and Beamish and Murphy's, the 3 big stouts. Like, it will be the only thing they drink. So you can get rid of a keg in a day in a pub in Ireland, right? Which means that it's just, like, staying nice and the tap is running. Whereas in London, you could have a keg sitting there for a week. It's just not going to be good.
That's
interesting,
yeah. It's
just not going to be good. I think that's actually the bigger point, is, like, it's not getting run through quick enough. Also, last point, Guinness. Unbelievable ingredient in food. Mm. 2 of the nicest home-cooked dishes I've ever made in my life was, like, a Guinness cake and a Guinness stew. But the Guinness stew, I'm not going to lie, had at least a half a block of butter in it as well. Like easily a half a block, maybe close to a full block of Kerrygold, which is absolutely lip butter as well. But yeah, it's an unbelievable ingredient.
I completely agree. I've made Guinness stews before. I made a Guinness chocolate cake on Celebrity Bake Off.
Did you?
Yeah, I love it.
Ooh.
Absolutely love it.
What else did you make on Bake Off?
Yeah.
I made some gingerbread skull biscuits that didn't quite work out there a bit
was
too.
Was it thin gingerbread or was it thick gingerbread?
It was thin, but they had to have like little, you know, when you crush boiled sweets and put them in to make a little window. So they had like red boiled sweets eyes.
Oh, yeah.
But I think I just didn't put them in the oven for long enough. So they're a bit cookie-ish, which was a shame. And then we had to do raspberry donuts for the technical, which we all fucked up massively.
That's really hard.
Yeah.
Have you, sorry, I'm going to go off on a tangent now because you said gingerbread and gingerbread is maybe my favourite thing in the world. Have you ever been to Cumbria?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. Are you aware that William Wordsworth's sister invented a patented type of Cumbrian gingerbread that you can still only buy from this one bakery in Cumbria?
I'll tell you what.
In Grasmere.
I've never known.
I've got some in my cupboard at home.
Isn't it unreal?
It's good stuff.
I ordered 2 boxes of it for, because we just did a week of rehearsals because we're going on tour next in like a couple of days. I ordered 2 boxes of it to satiate the crew and the band. And just every so often when someone looked like they were going to kill each other, I would just like force feed them some Grasmere gingerbread. And they were like, that's so delicious. I was like, yeah, I know it is. Distraction tactic. But also the nicest shit I've ever had in my life.
I did not know this.
It's really good. Stuff. It's really, really good. Do you know as well, she's dead. It's Sarah Nelson. She's long gone.
Rest in peace.
May she rest in peace. They sell, because it's covered in this like crumbly breadcrumb, gingerbread breadcrumb thing. They sell big bags of just those crumbs for £3. So you can make it in like a cheesecake.
Wow.
Do you know, like you can make a cheesecake with that, or you can sprinkle on top of other things.
Or just
unreal. It's only £3.
Straight in the mouth, right?
Well, I was going to say.
No one's made a fucking cheesecake with that.
No, I would be shoveling straight into my mouth.
Yeah.
Do you know,
it's great stuff.
This is just, this is about crumbs. You'll love this story, so I'm not sure I've told it on the podcast before.
I don't remember a crumb story.
My wife told me the other day that when she was a little kid at nursery and primary school, that if it was someone's birthday, that a cake would get brought in. And rather than just everyone getting a slice, the teacher would make it into crumbs and then make all the kids sit there with their mouths open like that and then drop the crumbs into their mouth. And it was called birdie crumbs.
Yeah, I do love that. Yeah, of course I love that.
Yeah.
That is really disturbing.
It's pretty disturbing when you think about it, isn't it? Yeah.
Was there other adults around?
I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, it's
like all the kids are lined up with their mouths open and birdie crumbs.
I definitely don't think any teacher would do that now. Even though it's not technically out of order. I think you would still be like, I feel like I'm pushing some sort of boundary here.
Like, I'd be wondering if they've like, you know, gotten, you know, like when you pull meat and you like shred it with fork, right? Say they get the cake, they shred it up and then they like get a spoon and spoon it onto individual plates and then the kids do the birdie crumbs themselves.
Yes.
But you're telling me that an adult human
went along the line
made
and did
the children
crumbs.
Stand in a line and feed them
birdie crumbs.
that's the bit, isn't
it? They may as well chew it and then spit it into their mouths like a fucking bird. Like, what's going on?
Yeah, pretty weird.
Yeah, like starlings do that. Ace Ventura does that.
Yeah, Ace Ventura does it in the second film.
That film hasn't aged well at all.
No,
it's really bad.
No, neither of them have aged well.
No, both of them got some.
Pretty bad.
Jim Carrey hasn't aged well in general. Like, not physically.
Physically, I think he looks great.
He looks fabulous.
He looks great. Jim, you look great. We always start with still a sparkling water, C-Matt. Do you have a preference?
Still. I'm not a psychopath. No. I want still water with my meal. I really, really dislike fizzy water. I will only have it in the context of, is there a half of a lemon squeezed in? Do you know what I mean? Like, if it's lemony and fizzy and there's like a flavour there. Otherwise, I feel like something bad is happening in my brain when it's in my mouth because it's wrong.
Right.
Like, you don't expect it to sparkle, do you know?
Even if you see it coming and you know it's sparkling water,
and you've asked
you don't
for
expect it.
You don't expect it because it's water. It's supposed to satiate you and it's supposed to run through your body in a normal way that doesn't cause discomfort or stress, but it does when it's fizzy.
So even if you know it's fizzy, they've brought it, they've poured it in the glass, you know it's going to be fizzy, your body still goes, hang on, what the fuck's going on?
Yeah, it's not right in the... And as well, like, the point of water with your meal is to, like, help digestion. Mm-hmm. Fizzy water, it just does, it feels counterintuitive. And it doesn't feel neutral. It's supposed to be a neutral, delicious substance that brings health and vitality. And fizzy water is like eating TV static or something. It's just, it's wrong. I know a lot of people use that comparison, but it's right.
Yeah.
Or white noise. You know, not good. Sorry, I've made a lot of noises.
No, it's great. Tongue. We love
it's
it.
It's a podcast. It's an audio medium.
Yeah.
The more noises, the better.
Is that a noise? You know,
when you'd be the little clown horn.
You're the new Jim Carrey.
Although you did it with two hands there.
Auga! That's another noise.
Another horn. I think the mask does that noise.
Yeah.
Has the mask aged well?
Oh, I don't know, but Cameron Diaz is the most beautiful woman I've ever seen on screen. I think that's the best a person has ever looked a film is Cameron Diaz in that movie.
Walking into the bank.
Yeah,
when she walks to the bank.
Yeah, first appearance.
I love her. She's married to a good Charlotte. Do you know that?
She is.
I didn't know she was married to one of the good Charlottes.
She's married to...
It's standing the test of time that they've been together for 15 years, which is like 70
Benji
years.
I think she's married to Benji.
Yeah.
Benji or Joel.
You've stumbled into Ed's area of expertise.
Really?
Well, no, also, I did know that because I've just started watching the new series of Ink Master, and Joel Madden is the new host of Ink Master.
And is that the Cameron Diaz one?
No, I think that's the other one.
That's the Nicole Richie one. Because the other one is married to Nicole Richie.
Yeah, that's the Nicole Richie one. Yeah. The good Charlotte boys have, you know...
I bet they're charming as hell.
Yeah.
You got to be funny and charming as hell to keep up with the wondrous master that is Cameron Diaz.
But also, they, you know, they're known for believing that girls don't like boys, girls like cars and money. So they must feel on edge every
day. That is one of the few good Charlotte songs I know.
And they've both married women who are definitely infinitely wealthier than them. So it just goes to show you what's going on.
Yeah.
Love them. I actually love them. They seem like such good vibes.
Yeah, I went to a CD UK special recording of Good Charlotte.
Whoa.
They only did three songs. I had to go
Cat
all the way to Hammersmith.
Dealey.
Yeah, Dealey.
Cat
Legend.
Cat Dealey UK. Right? Isn't that what that was?
I don't think it... Did it stand for Cat Dealey UK? That's going to blow my mind if it did.
Because she was on it now.
She was the host, yeah.
I thought that's why it was called CD UK. It was Cat Dealey UK.
I thought it was just CD because CDs had music on them.
Yeah,
but or was that also a double meaning?
It works on two levels.
Wow.
There you go. Love her. Queen of Ireland.
I wrote a poem for her once, sent it into SMTV.
Hang on.
Did you?
Yeah.
James, why have you never told me this?
I thought you knew. I thought you knew that.
No. Can you remember any of the poem and I need to know
immediately? I remember the whole thing, but I'm not going to recite it.
Recite it.
It's too embarrassing.
James.
Recite it.
You've already told us that you wrote a poem to Cat Dealey.
Was it giving William Wordsworth or was it giving like Andrew Diceman Clay or something?
Probably.
You could read Digger Reed Duck.
A little bit of a crossover, I guess. I thought it was going to be like a funny poem, but I think it came off.
Was it horny?
Quite horny. Well, or just very earnest, like I was in, I was 11.
That's
wrote the poem,
enough.
Sent it in.
Benito, can we book Cat Dealey for this podcast, please? I've met her before; she's great.
Well, let's not talk about booking other guests in front of we're midway through.
Well, no, I think we've got a Cat Dealey fan in the room.
You're just going to have to bring me back when she's here.
Yeah.
Be like, hello.
Pop on bread. Pop on bread. See, Matt. Pop on bread.
Bread.
Yeah.
Obviously, I mean, with my meal. Papa Dom's are delicious and I do love them.
Yeah.
But with my meal that I have in my head planned out for today's events, it's got to be bread.
Yeah.
Also, I love bread. Maybe it might seem obvious, but a lot of my tastes lie in French stuff, like French food, I think is like my general food taste. And like, oh my God, 90 cent baguette that you just get in any fucking boulangerie. In like any part of northern France, and it cracks, you know, and it goes like that, and then I'll eat a whole thing.
Unreal. So if you went to a boulangerie in Paris and you're walking back to your house with the bread and it's sticking out the top of the packet, do you wait until you get back to where you are, or are you going to bite the top off on your way back?
Absolutely not. I'm going to bite the top off.
Yeah.
I'm going to do that thing where it's like under my arm, it poking out of a tote bag, realistically. Yeah, right? Like quite a deep tote bag. It's
Graham coming Norton up here. Bag.
And I'll be walking and maybe I'm using my phone. Maybe I'm like that movement where it's like tucked in, but it's like hands-free access to the baguette, I think.
Yeah. I love that you're on the phone while this is happening as well.
Yeah.
You're on the phone too.
I'm just doing business.
Yeah.
I'm Bob Sarah, I'm a busy woman. I'd be like, yeah, I want all those sheets on my desk by Monday. You know.
The person on the other end is going, see, Matt, did you just buy a baguette?
See, like, Matt, yeah. Be honest.
Yes, yeah. I did. And I do it again.
Are we going with the Monsieur Bourdier butter with...
Or the Kerrygold?
Oh, I mean, listen, Kerrygold is absolutely fabulous and it's tried and tested. But I think because this is my dream and I haven't had it yet, I'm going with the Bourdier butter.
You've got to go Bourdier
I'm actually,
butter.
I'm going with, right, this is what I imagine because I know he has lots of different butters. I'm imagining like a plinth, a plank. You would have on a plank, wouldn't you? You know, a plank. Sorry, that's a... Have you ever seen that episode of Come Dine With Me with the Welsh girl who just uses her hands to toss the chips?
No.
So she's like from Wales and she just, it was like, for my episode of Come Dine With Me, I'm going to go to TK Maxx and buy loads of planks, like wooden chopping boards. So she serves every single dish on a plank.
Fantastic.
And she keeps it like, you in a posh restaurant, you would have it on a plank, wouldn't you? You would have it on a plank. Yeah. Like she just keeps saying the word plank.
I've not seen that one. Obviously, I know all the big hits from Come Dine With Me.
Yeah.
The Sad Little Life.
Yeah.
And got the guy with the whisk in his mouth.
I think she's a big hit. I think, I honestly
yeah,
think
I missed,
she's coming up the ranks.
Yeah.
She's a new addition to the pantheon of Come Dine With Me content. But she is definitely, she is like stirring the food. You know the way you would stir it with like a spoon or a wooden spatula? She just has her oven mitt and she's doing it with the oven mitt.
It's even worse with the
disgusting.
Oven mitt on for some reason.
It's so gross.
That is worse.
And then she's just fucking everything onto a plate. It's so good. She's like deconstructed Pavlova and it's just like loads of smashed up bits of food on a plate.
That's great.
And then she gets a bit of sauce and goes like this. She's like, design. But anyway, so I would have it on a plank. I would have a little, like, dollopy selection of different butters, like a butter flight, if you will.
Nice.
I think, like, seaweed, chilli, salted, unsalted, whatever. And then I would...
They're all salted.
Maybe instead of spreading, because I'm a freak, I would just, like, rip off a bit of bread and just, like, smear it, do you know what I mean? And just go in. Yeah. I want to taste that butter.
You'd have to try them all separately first, maybe, and then do the wipe.
Yeah, like get a little spoon and eat like this.
Yeah.
Give you unlimited. We'll keep the planks coming.
Yeah.
Yeah. Also, side note, I was recently in a restaurant in New York and it was a Jewish-Japanese fusion restaurant and they had like a challah bread, but it was just like a little mini challah bread and it was absolutely gorgeous, but they served it with a cinnamon raisin butter.
Wow.
And it was like a sweet and savory experience that absolutely blew my fucking balls off. It was so good. Like, it was so fucking tasty.
They missed the Japanese fusion on that bit.
Yes.
I don't think there was any Japanese in there. It was just Jewish, but it was absolutely fabulous.
Great.
It was absolutely fabulous. To be honest, I can't remember the name of the restaurant. It's a good restaurant, but like...
I've heard of the place. What's it called?
Yeah, Shalom Japan.
Shalom Japan.
It was really, really nice. But their version of like Jewish and Japanese fusion was like, it's a bowl of ramen, but they've just put a matzo ball in it. Like everything else about it is just ramen, but it just has matzo balls in it.
Yeah.
Listen.
It sounds good.
It was fucking great.
Yeah.
Would recommend. But that bread and raisin and fucking cinnamon, whatever that was so good.
But you're going for the French baguette with the plank of butter.
I think if I'm on my deathbed, I'm like, give me bread and give me a flight of butter.
Yeah. Yeah. Made by the crying man.
Yeah. So that's
would you like the crying man to serve it to you?
Who's the crying man?
From your videos.
What's your buddy?
Oh, yeah. Sorry. Abso-fucking-lutely. And I want him to eat the entire meal with me and tell me stories about his life because I think he's a very interesting man.
How quickly would him crying all the time get annoying?
Mm.
I'd actually probably just start crying with him. I'd go on that journey with him. I'm quite an empath, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Like, if he's crying about his life's work, I'd just start crying about my life's work, do you know?
Really?
Like, wow, I'm so proud of that song.
And then I think he'd start crying about that,
like,
as well.
Man, do you want to listen to I Want to Be a Cowboy, Baby? Weird to me. I put headphones on him and he'd be like, wow, it is so good. I love this song. That's my French accent.
It's good.
It's great.
Thank
I liked
you.
It.
It's good. Yeah.
Wah. They make that noise a lot. Wah.
Yeah, that's what I said, yes.
Wah.
Your dream starter.
Okay. My dream starter.
Yeah.
And luckily, dreams do come true because I think... Oh. I've had this multiple times this year. It's basically interchangeable, but it's the same thing. I've been in two restaurants this year that have served a variation of the same starter, which essentially was an artichoke that is lightly battered in flour, but also Parmesan and then deep fried.
Mm-hmm. Lovely.
And I've had that in Lena stores, but only in the summer. And then there's a restaurant in Brighton, where I live at the moment, called Tuto, which does approximately the same thing, but it's with broccoli and broccolini. So it's like it's genuinely unbelievably good. It's like they just whack the broccolini around in powder and then somehow make Parmesan into a powder and also batter, and then they deep fry it and you just eat it as it is.
Wow.
Bit of olive oil, bit of balsamic, whatever. It's so good. I think something that's very important to me in this life is a filthy vegetable. Do you know what I mean? Like a vegetable that has been treated horribly.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
It's like all of the health has been removed from it.
Sure.
And it is just a delicious treat.
Yeah.
And I think that's amazing. My dream starter. That's really, really, really good.
Do you want both of those things on the dream starter?
Yeah.
You can have the artichoke and the broccolini and broccoli as well.
Maybe like a flight on a plank.
I think I like the plank.
I got a feeling all of this is going to be on planks.
It's all going to be. Yeah. You would have it on a plank, would you?
Would you like the Welsh woman to be preparing your food?
Maybe not preparing my food, because I don't No, I actually don't want her touching my food. I don't want her touching my food, but I would like her to also be at my table with me.
Yeah.
I think she would be I think she seems like a really nice person.
How do you think her and Bordier are going to get on?
Yeah. I think they'd have a great time.
Yeah.
I think the two of them would get, they wouldn't understand a word the other person's saying, and they just like have good vibes, you know. It's not really about communication on a verbal language level. It's just about like vibes.
General vibes.
Do you know what I mean? General vibes. Yeah. And I can kind of sit silently and enjoy my food while being entertained by people I love around me. I think that's like a good vibe at a restaurant.
Nice.
Yeah. I feel like maybe the two of them are quite, you know, polar opposites. Because like he's very meticulous from what you described about how he makes his butter. Mm-hmm. And if he saw her...
with her mitts on.
Tossing stuff with her mitts on.
But there definitely was a passion in the way that she put everything on a plank. You know, like, I think she has a love of food, and there's like a heart and a passion there.
Well, he loves planks as well, right?
He does.
So there's the plank,
He batters the thing with planks and wood and stuff. Yeah. Like the malaxage machine is like just wooden planks, just like slapping the butter over and over again like this. Mm. It's unbelievable.
So they could chat about planks for a bit.
Yeah, they got that.
Or they just point at planks and give the thumbs up.
Oh,
get a pirate
I'd love
involved
that.
As well. If you want a pirate there?
Yeah.
On the...
And then I'd walk it, you know.
Yeah. Walk the butter plank.
And jump into a pool of butter.
I'd hate to walk the plank.
Would you?
Yeah.
Why?
I'd be terrified.
Yeah, it's not.
It would suck, man. Because, like, if you get thrown off the boat, that's bad enough. But, like, if they make you walk the plank, the only point of that is to scare you even more.
Yeah.
Because they could just chuck you off. But for their entertainment, they make you walk the plank, which
I think
out of order.
I don't
Pirates
think a good
haven't
option.
Been known to be, like, compassionate that much, though.
No.
So it's not shocking that they would make you walk
But this
the
is
plank.
Them at their worst, in my opinion.
But they did try and make pirates, like, jolly and, you know, like, cartoons of them and stuff, and our pirates are a laugh.
Yeah.
We're still making people walk the plank, which
they
is
were still,
awful.
But they were still doing that, even when it was like, yo-ho-ho and a bottle of rum and we're jolly pirates. They were were still making people walk the plank.
If you think of the time period that we're in, right, realistically, pirates, that shit is kicking off about the 1500s, the time of, like, Magellan, right?
Yeah.
What else was going on at the time? Well, I tell you one thing. The English were invading Ireland. That was pretty bad. They were doing terrible things there.
Yeah.
But also, just in general, if you were like a lowly orphan coughing and you were like, please, sir, I've got no money. Can I steal a loaf of bread for my family? And then they catch him, this little orphan, stealing a loaf of bread. They might make him sit on the Spanish donkey or something. Do you know all that medieval torture stuff that goes on at that time?
Well, I didn't know about
it's
Spanish
like
donkey.
It's like a sharp triangular thing that they make people sit on naked and tie ankle weights, and then they just slowly split in half.
What?
Yeah.
Why is that called a Spanish donkey?
They put a little orphan boy
on
that.
I don't remember. Yeah, they put a little orphan boy on that. Or they stretch them out until they snap in half as well. There's that one.
Yeah.
Like, there's loads of terrible... Honestly, walking the plank is humane by the standards of, like, the stuff they were doing to punish people.
That doesn't mean I would like it. I wasn't saying, like, it would be the worst thing in the world.
Keel hauling is worse, pirate-wise.
I don't want to be split in half on a pyramid either.
I think that maybe the people of the sea, though, people of the sea might... be a bit more, they might have like a bit more heart than people of the land, you know. So I just don't want you to, I don't want you to have a bad impression of like pirates and sea people in general from the plank. Because I think, in the context of what was going on at the time, you would have had a much worse time committing a crime or getting out of favor with people on land. Hanged, drawn, and quartered. They did that as well.
Yeah, they did that stuff. But then The pilots aren't even doing it if I've committed a crime, really. They just don't like the cut of my jib and they make me walk the plank.
If someone doesn't like the cut of your jib, that's a crime, you know, and you're stuck in
that. Literally a boat term as well, so.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, yeah.
Is it?
It's a sailing term, yeah.
Is it?
I just sit on the end of the plank and I refuse to go any further.
Well, they'd walk down and stab you, mate. That's
no,
the point.
Because I'd then shake the plank and they'd fall off and every time they try and walk down and get me.
Drowning must be horrible.
Yeah.
Keel hauling was something they used to do where they used to tie people to the bottom of the ship and then go along. So you'd drown for a bit, but then the ship would come up and you'd get some air. Then you'd go back down again and then you keep going.
That's so embarrassing. Yeah. That's such an embarrassing way to die. Like, that is so cringe.
Yeah. Then you get all sliced up by the barnacles on the boat as well. Horrible. They're not nice guys.
No.
No.
But still. Again, I just have to put my foot down about this. Within the context of the time, the people of the sea were better than the people of the land.
Yeah.
Is this mainly based on the fact that our lot were invading you?
Yeah.
Yeah.
To be honest with you.
That's fair enough.
English people love land, like, do you know what I mean?
Mm. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You love just, see that bit of land? I'm going to take that.
I can't deny it. I love walking around.
I love it.
Well, you can't do that either because all the land in England is fucking privatised. You can't even go for a poxy walk without trespassing.
Yeah.
Do you know about this? Like, there's, like, no free land. Like, I read a pamphlet that's released biannually called Weird Walks.
What?
And I absolutely love it. And it's about people who love going on walks around the British Isles.
Yeah.
Which, listen, I don't love the term, but it is what it is.
Mm-hmm.
And basically, if you are like, I want to go for a walk in the wilderness in England, you're going to be trespassing no matter what you do.
Yeah.
Almost all of the land in England is privatised. So technically, you're not allowed to go and see. Say you have, like, an amazing porter dolmen from, like, the Iron Age. And it's in Canterbury somewhere. You're not actually allowed, as a human being, technically allowed to go see it because it's illegal.
Brigstock Country Park, is that private?
I don't know where that is. Brigstock?
It's in Northamptonshire. I went there a lot as a kid.
Is that where you're from?
Yeah.
I don't even know where that is. Where's that in context of the other places in
East
England?
East Anglia.
Where's East Anglia?
20 minutes on the train from Leicester.
So where is Leicester in relation?
Midlands.
Okay,
East Midlands.
I know the West Midlands because I have a friend from Wolverhampton and he has a song about the West Midlands called the WM.
More East Midlands.
Yeah.
East Midlands, okay. Yeah. Okay.
So kind of opposite of Wolverhampton.
Okay.
Brigstock Country Park's around there.
Okay.
Is that private?
Very possibly could be. Very possibly could be. Look at
Normally being a little extra can be a bit much. But when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Today's episode of Off Menu is sponsored by Aura. James, are you ready to win Mother's Day?
I am, Ed. I want to cement my reputation as the best gift giver in the family. I want to give my mom an Aura digital picture frame preloaded with decades of family photos.
May I say, James, I absolutely love the class and elegance with which you use the word mom, because this is for US listeners.
All of your moms deserve a good Aura digital picture frame preloaded with decades of family photos.
Yeah, I think your mum's going to love looking back on your childhood memories, seeing what you're up to today, seeing what you were up to back in the day, and even better, with unlimited storage and an easy-to-use app, you can keep updating mom's frame with new photos, so it's the gift that keeps on giving, James.
Ed, answer me this. Who is the best gift giver in your life?
I'd probably say my wife is a very good gift giver. Not that my mom is not a fantastic gift giver, but my wife's very good at little surprise things. She says, I've only got you a few things, and then there'll be little surprises, things that we've seen throughout the rest of the year. I'll say to my wife, I like that, and then I forget about it. And then on the day, there's some lovely little gifts there for me that remind us of the year that we've just spent together.
Oh, if you like being reminded of stuff, may I suggest photographs?
That's a very good point, James. I think we should get ourselves an Aura digital picture frame and put some of our wedding photos on them.
Right now, Ed, Aura has a great deal for Mom's Day, Mother's Day. Listeners can save on the perfect gift by visiting auraframes.com to get $30 off plus free shipping on their best-selling frame. That's AURAframes.com. Use code OFFMENU at checkout to save. Terms and conditions apply.
Your dream main course.
Okay. So this is just something I had this year that I was going in the Rolodex of my brain and I was like, what are the best meals I've had this year? And one just kept popping out at me over and over again. I was like, okay, this is the best meal I've had this year. The best main dish I had this year was a risotto with a poached salmon on top. Doesn't sound that good, right? Doesn't sound spectacular. The risotto was, I believe, boiled in a chorizo stock. So it was set in a chorizo stock, right? And it would have been, you know, classic risotto where you dice carrots, onion, celery, and then you, you know, toss the everything in a bit of parsley, and then you ladle the chorizo stock in, stock, right? But then when it was done, they just fucking stirred in double cream. So they just stirred double cream through the risotto, right? And that's the base. Then dotted around, they had like 10 mussels, like in the shell, like mussels in the shell, just like dotted around, like real cute, like a little flower. They were delicious. But then the poached salmon on top was unbelievable. And I don't even know how they did it. It was just like the most perfect bit of fish I've ever had in my life. So they poached it and it was a big, massive bit of it. But then they clearly fired and marinated the salmon. So then they fired the skin. So the skin was this perfect crispy, like crisp. It's like, you know, when you get really good pork crackling or something. It was like that, but it was this fish skin. And it is absolutely the best main course I've had this year. It was unbelievably good. Unbelievably good.
James's stomach has been going fucking crazy over here.
With that description. It's a great description.
It's really good.
Very good food description.
I had it in Paris. I had it in a restaurant called...
You love Paris?
I love Paris. I love Paris for food. I love French food. Because I like vegetables and they grow it all there and it's nice. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah,
it doesn't have to travel, so you don't feel guilty about it every time you have a lemon, which I do. Do you know, because it's come from like South America and I'm like, what? I'm in Brighton. How did it even get here?
But I think that comes from the Guinness travelling. Like, you don't like it if food and drink travels?
Yeah, I don't like when food and drink travels. It feels like food colonization or something. It's like, right, why do I actually have to have a lemon? Like, I live in England at the moment. Like, can I not just live without a lemon? You know, like maybe give lemons to people who deserve lemons more. You know, unless they grow lemons here. I don't think they really do grow lemons here, do they?
No, I don't think you can. I don't think the climate's right for lemons.
And yet I eat lemons all the time. That's terrible. But yeah, that's my dream main dish. Risotto, poached salmon on top.
That sounds amazing.
It is unreal. It's unreal. And that restaurant, it's called Le Restaurant 24 or Le 24. I don't know. Le Restaurant 24. I don't know what 24 is in French.
Okay.
That was probably also, and I know it's not important when you're really treating yourself, but is absolutely one of the like best value meals I've ever had. Like it was like, it was like their, what you call it when it's just like a set menu, but they have a word for it.
I think just a set
menu. Menu du jour or something.
Oh, is it?
It's like starter, main course, dessert, and it's like you don't get any choice. It's like this is what you're getting. And it was like €30 or something.
There's so many amazing like bistros like that where you just walk in and like just give me what you got. And it's just incredible.
Yeah, I sat outside and it was sunny. And I had ran there because I was over the other side of Paris. So I was like, okay, I was into running at the time. And then my mother was like, stop running, your ankles will be fucked. But I was running, so I ran from one side of Paris to the other, and life is all about balance. So I was like, I'm going to go eat a disgusting amount of food right now. And then that was, I sound like a posh person when I talk about food, but it is the thing I probably spend the most money on in my life. I absolutely love food and I love really good food.
I don't think you sound posh. What do you mean?
Well, I'm being posh with my food choices, like, do you not think?
Paris comes up a lot.
Paris does come up a lot, but I am over there for work all the time.
It sounds like you like good stuff.
Yeah.
Also, I travel a lot, right? And I don't get to make my own food most of the time because I'm constantly on tour. So I have to have someone make me a meal that is actually nice and not terrible and full of grease, or I will, my whole day will be ruined. Like, if I eat a meal and I've spent money on it and it's just like a crap Nando's, I will genuinely be upset for the rest of the day, and it will affect my mood very poorly for the rest of the day. So I've had to get smart. And the Michelin Guide app. Do you use the Michelin Guide app?
No.
It is, it has changed my life forever. That is maybe a bit of an exaggeration, but I actually don't think it is, because it is so good. You basically, wherever city you're in, you go on the Michelin Guide app, you set the setting to like, they have like these little euro signs. It's like 1 euro, then 2 euro signs, then 3 euro signs. You basically only want to go to the one or the two. You don't, you want to do the first two brackets, because everything after that gets a bit nuts, you know, crazy food people. I love that. I think it's weird, but you know, if you're out and about day to day, you don't
want
to be.
You don't want a 12 course tasting menu that costs 800 quid.
No, you don't. You don't. So that's how I find loads of my restaurants. And that was how I found, I was like, stopped running and I was like, okay, let me see what's open. And it was like 5 minutes away from opening that place. And I was like, cool, I'll just walk over there. And I had literally the nicest fucking meal of my life.
Wow, that sounds great.
Love doing that.
Yeah, yeah.
Because it's not just it's not just places with Michelin stars.
Yeah, it's like recommended.
It's just like things that are on the guide and Beeb Gourmand.
What I've been looking for, man. Dream side dish.
So, side dish. Much like in the, with the starter, I have a general shape of the side dish, but I haven't locked in like the exact one, but I kind of know what it is. I love butter beans.
Okay.
Right? And butter beans boiled in like a delicious stock with like vegetables throughout as a side dish is like my favorite one. I can think of two examples. One is that like one day I walked into my friend's mom's house in York, Florencia. Shout out Florencia Clifford of Partisan. And I forget the name of her new restaurant. I'm not going to lie. She'd probably fucking kill me for that. But, you know, the two places that Florencia looks after in York are unbelievable. But she was just making like a home cooked meal that day. And I walked in and she was like, are you hungry? And I was like, yeah. She's like, here, just have this. It's just like sitting on the stove. And it was like a butter bean stew with like, I think, again, a chorizo stock, but like a bit of fish stock in it as well, and then like loads of veg and like spinach throughout, and then you just have it with a bit of bread. It's unreal. And then the other day I was in, I'm gonna try and remember the name of this pub off the top of my head. It's near Stockwell in London. I believe it's also like a gastro pub that is like posh vibes. The Canton Arms.
Canton Arms, I was gonna say.
Do you know the Canton Arms?
Yeah.
So I had like, it was like mutton, I'm pretty sure. It was like just a chop of mutton, but it had butter beans in like a green kind of, so I actually genuinely don't know what it was. I think there was like apple in there. It was like apple and celeriac. Mm. And then also like some kind of meat stock that it was boiled in. And that was like on the side of the mutton chops. And it was fucking unreal. Like the beans were actually arguably nicer than the chops.
Quite French again. This is sticking with the theme. Yeah.
The first time we've had butter beans.
Butter beans,
on the podcast.
Mm.
I used to hate butter beans, but I think the first time I had like a proper like cassoulet in France, I was like, oh no, this is how you do beans.
Yeah, that this is the thing. You have to make them dirt. Mm-hmm. Like you have to make them a bit like, you have to really... Because obviously butter beans, there's a lot of foods that are unfortunately very wrapped up in like diet culture. So they're just foods you would never touch in a million years because it's like, you know, I think beans is a good example. Like people were always doing like skinny beans and like, you know, it's so good for digestion, skinny beans. Like you're just like doing it a bit of, you know, whatever, like doing it in the skinny way. Like, or even like as an example, like the poached salmon, like poached salmon for me is like associated with, you also do with a bit of steamed rice and like steamed carrots.
Sure, yeah.
And no flavor and no nothing or whatever, whatsoever, right? I think butter beans get that unfair rap because they're kind of tied up with like 2000s diety culture, because people would always like lob them into a salad as like the protein and carb. But if you absolutely just boil them in like butter and a meat stock and then diced roasted vegetables throughout, bit of spinach in there, why not? There's your health, and you just have that. It's absolutely outrageous.
I think you had your eyes closed for a full minute there.
I did. Unctuous.
And you love butter?
I love butter.
Do you think that's what led you to the butter bean?
Maybe this is like a patriotism thing. I say deep down, I'm a very patriotic woman, because butter is essentially the national dish of Ireland.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what I mean? Like, that is essentially our national dish, because it's in everything, and there's absolutely fucking loads of it. Because we don't really do spices or nothing, and I think that gets a bit of an unfair rap in Irish cooking. I also think the reason I like French cooking is because it's a bit like Irish cooking, a little bit, but they're just like, they got a bit more going on. They got a bit more growing over there. So they got nicer weather. But like, the Irish national dish, I think, is ham and cabbage. What is the actual?
Oh, really?
I don't actually know what the Irish national dish. It's going to be like ham and cabbage or calcannon or like stew. Maybe it's just Irish stew. Yeah. Like, that's got half a block of butter in it. If it's a good stew, it's got a half a block of butter in there.
Mm.
It's unreal.
I'm glad you mentioned Kerrygold as well. That keeps up our run of every Irish guest we've ever had has mentioned
Kerrygold.
You would
have been the first not to if you hadn't done it.
Well, that's good. I'm glad. Because the thing is, right, respectfully, and again, you know, I love English people individually, right? Love them individually.
Not all of them, right?
Not all of them, definitely. Yeah, yes. And, you know, I don't love every person individually. Some people are from
there you go.
You know, and I've some of my best friends are English, and
oh dear, here we go.
my boyfriend Willie, bless him, is English.
Yeah, the beetroot loving bastard.
Yeah, bless him. He does fucking love beetroots as well. You know, but I still sometimes struggle with the concept of it overall.
Of English people,
just living here can be a bit difficult sometimes, because there is just like a thing in the back of my head, like 800 years. And where my patriotism really kicks in is in the supermarket, because when you go to buy butter, the only butter that I can buy in my local supermarket that does not have the Union Jack emblazoned across it is a Kerrygold.
Mm.
Every single other one in the Sainsbury's has some design of Union Jack, and I'm just like, I can't do it. Like, can't have that. Like, Willie, my boyfriend, has like a Jack Wills hoodie that has like the Union Jack in the like logo of it across the front.
Not anymore, just purple all the way across now.
I just hid it on him. It's like in my attic. He doesn't know where it is. He's always like, where's my hoodie? I'm like, oh, I don't know, babe.
You should just tell him, man.
Just wear my Bombay Bicycle Club hoodie. It's fine.
Where do you think it is, Willie? You fucking... you know how I feel about the fucking Union Jack, and you bought that hoodie.
It's so funny. And as well, like, my old guitar player, Josh, and he's from Cavan, so he should know better, but he was cutting around on tour. He got on the tour, and I looked at his feet. I was like, are you wearing a pair of fucking Reeboks, man? And he was like, yeah, I am. And I was like, give me them. And I'm quite good at embroidery, so you know the way it has a little tiny Union Jack on it?
Uh-huh.
I just did an Irish tricolour over them.
Great.
It's just like the little things. And for me, Kerrygold is like the only safe space of butter in England.
It's kind of the little thing. But also, I mean, you shouldn't be ashamed of any of this. It's great. But like, I wouldn't say it's the little things, because earlier when I said I wouldn't want to walk the plank, your response was you invaded Ireland.
It wasn't exactly how the conversation went, but that was the heart of the matter.
I mean, you didn't.
Well, I benefited from it. I probably still benefit from it to this day, I'd say.
Yeah.
So I'm still probably still reaping the rewards of those people doing that.
Acaster.
Yeah.
What's that name?
Anglo-Saxon name, kind of northeast of England.
Yeah. You benefit.
I've never done a family tree thing, but I'm pretty sure I benefit from all the bad stuff in the world.
Gamble.
Irish.
Go on.
Yeah.
Knew he had it in him.
He's sitting there, but you couldn't wait to be asked.
Yeah.
You were sitting there going, ask me what gamble means.
We Willie, my boyfriend, we fight about one thing. This is actually disgusting, but I'm just going to say it. We fight about one thing, which is that man. So when I first met him, right, he didn't eat food because he'd been on tour for about 11 years.
Well, he didn't.
No, he really didn't eat food. He wasn't an eater. He was like a smoker. And so didn't eat, and was like, I'm a starving musician. Blah, blah, blah. So he didn't eat any food. And then over the course of being in a relationship with me, his appetite has like quadrupled, and now he eats probably 10 times more than me, because he's quite a tall guy and he's like naturally skinny. And I think when those kind of people start eating food, they're like, oh my god, I can't stop, because food actually feels good. So he eats all the time. But now the problem I have is we live together, and he wakes up in the middle of the night almost every single night at 2 o'clock in the morning, 3 o'clock in the morning, and he goes downstairs and he starts eating food, and he eats one of two things. He either eats a bar of chocolate or he eats a block of Comté cheese in its entirety, or like half of it at least, right?
This guy's my hero.
And when I'm not home, which is quite often because I'm a businesswoman who does business and eats baguettes,
of course,
he will eat this food in bed.
Yeah.
So recently, I was on a call, I was on a FaceTime call with like the producer for fucking Graham Norton or something, like very important phone call. And I was in bed because there was loads of stuff going on downstairs with the band. I think they were like bringing gear in and out. And I was in my bed and I found a fucking mouse poo. A mouse dropping in my fucking bed where I fucking sleep. And I've never had such an argument with someone over something. I was like, this is because you eat cheese and chocolate in bed every night. And then the worst thing was like, I started giving out to him over it. So he started like trying to hide his tracks. So sometimes I'd get into the bed and there would be wrappers, like evidence of like wrappers beneath the pillowcases. Because he's like,
he's not done a great job of hiding his tracks.
No, he's useless at hiding his work.
Throw him in the bin, probably.
But I know. And then even if he remembers, I'll know because the sheets will smell a little bit like Coptane.
Oh my God. Are you sure Willie's not a massive mouse?
This is the theory, that he's actually good because he does kind of do this with his hands a lot.
Yeah.
He does kind of stand like this sometimes.
Willie, you got to sort this out, man.
Willie, come on, man. Stop eating cheese in the bed and attracting all the mice who love cheese.
No, I did. And the other day I was sitting downstairs and I was up late working and he went to the kitchen to get a cup of tea. He was like, I could feel him like sneaking back upstairs. Yeah. And I looked at him and he had like four biscuits in his mouth, but he was holding them in his mouth because he thought like the silhouette of holding biscuits would give the game away. He thought I just wouldn't look at him. He's literally like, like biscuits in his mouth. And I was like, get them fucking biscuits out of your mouth and eat downstairs like a normal person.
Yeah, you can't eat biscuits in bed.
I think all the biscuits in bed.
Yeah. God damn it, Willie.
Your dream drink.
Oh, so like with this meal, it's got to be like a dry white wine, I reckon. It's got to be a Chablis, do you know?
Mm-hmm.
Or my actual favourite wine that I drink most weeks is the Kylie Minogue branded Provence Rosé. Wow. Not her Rosé, because that's not as nice, Kylie, respectfully. Mm-hmm. But the Kylie Minogue Provence Rosé is like, actually one of the actual nicest Provence rosés that you can get in most parts of this country. Because obviously, like I said, I'm in France a lot, I'm in Paris a lot. If they give you rosé, it's the nicest fucking shit you've ever had in your life. It's absolutely delicious. But Kylie Minogue's Provence rosé is unreal.
What would they say in France, though, if you were like, I love Kylie's Provence rosé?
They'd probably be like, yeah, it's absolutely passable as reckon? Like an everyday wine.
I've never had Kylie's rosé. I love a rosé.
The normal rosé isn't as nice. It's a bit wet, a bit fruity. It's not my vibe. But her dry Provence rosé is really, really good. It's just really drinkable and it's really good with food. But in general, I love a Chablis.
What's your favourite Kylie song?
Oh my God. I love like the Wow era. Read my lips. I'm into you. I'm into you. Can't resist you so hard. Get me into the shade. I love that. I also love, obviously, Padam. Sorry, I'm just going through Kylie.
Yeah.
I love Kylie Minogue. Oh, also Better the Devil You Know. Whoa. What else? Oh, she's just got so many good ears, man. She's so good. Her songwriting and the songs that come out of that woman are just like unreal. She's excellent.
Always reinventing herself.
Always.
Do you think when you look at people like that who've been going for a long time, do you think, I'm going to have to reinvent myself?
But she doesn't reinvent herself too much, I don't think.
She's not like, I'm goth Kylie now.
No, I mean, actually, she did do that. She did do that. They call me the Wild Rose, but my name was Eliza.
Was that the Nick Cave stuff?
Yeah, it was the Nick Cave one. What was I saying?
Kylie's wine.
Oh, I love it. Provence Rosé. Love.
But you would have a Chablis instead?
Interchangeable for me. Like, I don't really... I'm not one of these people that's like, oh my God, this is the most delicious wine I've ever had. But I love wine within the context of food because I love food. And I think wine goes really well with like the fish and the veg and the risotto and all that. Like I think like a dry wine, dry white wine.
Nice.
You know, I love like if I was drinking on its own and there was no food involved, I love actually, I'm kind of a Christmas girly. I love a mulled wine. I love a hot, sweet, tart wine with some fucking cloves in there and cinnamon sticks and a bit orange.
I love a mulled wine. I've only got into it in the last few years, really. But I look forward to it.
It's lovely.
I got sent some mulled wine for Christmas last year.
Did you?
Didn't use it.
Mm-hmm.
The other day I got, last night. I got home.
Mm-hmm.
The mulled wine's out. The bottle, half empty.
The cat.
I said to my girlfriend, what, have you been drinking mulled wine? She was like, no. She didn't have a clue. We narrowed it down to her friend Lauren. Or my mum.
Oh.
Has just drunk it as is.
What, just cold?
No.
Just out the bottle. Because there's no evidence of mulling going on in the house.
Have you checked for stains? I'll tell you why.
No stains anywhere.
I love mulled wine, and I buy bottles from Top Cuvée, do their own mulled wine every year. It's good stuff.
Ooh.
Had it in the wine rack at home. Didn't drink a couple of the bottles. February, I say, come down into the kitchen, wine all over the opposite wall. Because it's got so much sugar in it, I think.
Yeah.
Mm. If you leave it in the bottle, it starts to push the cork out. So don't keep the mulled wine.
Oh, no. Okay. So this has been moved. It was in the cupboard.
Right.
Now it's out on the side.
It might have really rocketed off.
Now it's out on the side.
Yeah.
And no one has mulled that wine. It has been drunk cold as is out the bottle, half the bottle. My mum cat sat for a weekend.
Could have been the cats.
It's not the cats. It's either my mum or it's my girlfriend's friend Lauren.
Or him.
And you
me
can
out.
Keep this in the podcast.
Hear me out.
Because
Willie.
Oh, it
feels
Willie!
Like it feels like Willie might
when
have done
snuck
this.
Over?
Yeah.
Yeah. Where do you live? Actually, don't answer that question.
I'm not gonna tell you, because then you will tell Willie.
He's and just there rustling away.
Yeah.
Oh hey. Well,
I've got enough cats, they'll catch him, that big mouse.
Yeah.
They'll swarm him.
They'll take him down. Big mouse Willie.
Yeah. He would be the type of person to drink an entire bottle of mulled wine as well.
Yeah.
Because he has to think he's not an alcoholic, right? But
okay.
If he's definitely not an alcoholic. Mm-hmm. I don't even know why I said he's not an alcoholic.
Yeah, yeah. Because that makes him sound like he is an alcoholic, yeah.
But I've witnessed that man, because food is such a newer experience to him because of all of the years of touring and just ignoring food.
Yeah.
I witnessed him drink like an entire bottle of Bailey's because he couldn't get over how delicious it was.
Yeah.
Like he just was like, sure. Oh yeah, let me just have this. And he's like, oh my God, it's so good. It tastes like milkshake. Drank the whole fucking thing.
Yeah, you would have done that the first
really
time you had Bailey's.
Really
yeah.
difficult to stop drinking Bailey's.
Do you ever have like the strawberries and cream one?
No, I think that'd be too much for
that's unreal. It's unreal.
Like
and the salted caramel one. And actually, there is a Irish cream liqueur from County Waterford.
Yeah.
Which is like a white chocolate based cream liqueur.
Oh, God. Great.
And it's called Cool Swan.
Okay.
And it's from County Waterford, which is where all my family are from.
Mm-hmm. I think I've had Cool Swan. I had to do like a taste test of things for Observer
it's
Food
like
Monthly.
White. It's like bright white.
Yeah, I've had it.
Isn't it the most delicious thing you've ever had in your life?
I really liked it, but it was tasting something and going, I can't have this ever again.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Because I'll chug it.
So me and Willie have easily on a Christmas or a New Year's had an entire leisure between the two of us.
Nice.
Like very easily. It's so good. It's so tasty. Yeah. So that's actually technically my dream drink, if it was just I'm drinking and there's no food involved, is probably a Cool Swan over ice, honestly.
Well, listen, a lot of the time we have let people pair different drinks for different courses.
Mm-hmm.
So if you want for your dream drink, Cool Swan.
Yeah.
And those wines can be come out with your courses.
Okay, amazing.
You can have Cool Swan as a digestif at the end.
Because Cool Swan over ice would actually go with my dessert.
Oh, there you go.
Well, let's get on to the dessert then. Okay. What is your dream dessert?
So this is embarrassing. My sister told me not to say this because she said it would be embarrassingly egotistical of me. But last week I made...
Yes.
I made a dessert and it is hands down the best dessert I've had this year.
Great.
But it is followed to the T from the love of my life, Nigella Lawson's Cook, Eat, Repeat.
Uh-huh.
It is a bread and butter Christmas pudding recipe. So it's like a Christmas bread and butter pudding, right?
Oh my God. That sounds amazing.
It is genuinely the nicest. Like I had to physically stop myself from having like 6 bowls of it. It was so good. I actually made it for... I was in Suffolk with Willie's mum and dad, and I didn't realise that, shout out Steve, bread and butter pudding is his favourite thing of all time. And he's not a man of many, many words, but his dad, after I made the bread and butter pudding, kept doing that classic like older English man thing of like taking me aside, maybe 3 times over the course that evening, just like taking me aside and being like, I really loved that. Like staring me like deeply in the eyes and like putting his hand on my shoulder and being like, I really loved that. I really like he like almost tears in his eyes over how much he loved it. Like it was so cute.
What's your Bourdieu?
It was really, really
Bourdieu levels.
He's kind of, he was giving important.
Yeah.
But so the Christmas bread and butter pudding recipe by Queen of My Life, Nigella Lawson. It is obviously stale white sandwich bread, grand, butter both sides. Traditionally, you just chopped it up into triangles and you like lie it down and you pour the custard over it. Because she's a fucking genius, she was like, oh, mincemeat, right? Like mincemeat that you put in a mince pie. You make mincemeat sandwiches. So you put a big thick layer of mincemeat and then you put the bread on top and you cut up triangular sandwiches and then you lie that down in the pan and then you pour the custard over and you bake it. Because traditionally, right, you put like, you know, raisin sultanas over the top. They just get dry. They get dry.
Just sit on the top. Yeah.
Or it's like, you know, or the pudding is too wet or the whatever. But this is actually because the mincemeat and stuff is like in the body of it. And it's not too much. It's not overpowering. It just like it all is perfect. It is like the perfect texture and the perfect consistency. And the raisins are perfect. The mincemeat is perfect. Everything about it is absolutely fucking perfect. It is like the nicest dessert I've had all year.
Is there anything else in the custard that makes it more Christmassy? Or is it like just the vanilla?
It's just like vanilla, like eggs. I think I put an extra egg into the custard then said in the recipe just because I had another egg and maybe not enough double cream, but it's like full fat milk, double cream, eggs, cinnamon, sugar, not too much sugar though. It's only like two heaped teaspoons of caster sugar. It's not,
you got
like
the mincemeat and stuff, right?
Yeah, you so, got the mincemeat and everything. And that custard, actually, when I finished making that custard, I like, I probably shouldn't have had a little sip of the raw shebang because it's just got eggs in it, but oh my god, it was unreal. And then you just pour that over and then you bake it for like 40 minutes. Oh. And then I served it with a very hot custard.
Really?
Yeah, I did hot enough. I don't usually do that, but I was kind of just like, I think I want hot custard with this. And I think it was the right call. Mm. But that's where I'm saying I could have Cool Swan over ice as my drink. Because I actually think all those flavors would go very well together.
Yeah.
It might be a bit sweet and overpowering, but oh my God, that is the nicest dessert I've had in a very long time.
That
and I just
amazing.
Made it myself and it's so easy.
I want to make that now.
It's so easy and actually very like cheap, like cost, like you don't need like loads of stuff. It's like a sliced pan of bread, loads of butter. There's a lot of butter in this recipe, should have pointed out, because you're buttering both sides of each of the slices of bread that you're using. And then also you have to put loads of butter down in the pan so that it like lifts off. Maybe explains why it's like one of my favorite recipes, but it's really, really good.
You got me excited for Christmas now.
You should just make that in not Christmas. I'm probably going to make that tonight, to be honest with you, because I keep talking about it and my sister Roisin keeps going mad. She's like, why did you make it for me? She's really jealous. Love you, sis. She's in the next room.
Lovely impression you did of your sister.
It was good. She's real jealous, you know. She always has been when she's good. Like, if any,
I only met her briefly, but she didn't sound like that when I met her.
No, it didn't sound like that.
She sounds exactly like me. My sisters, I have two sisters and we all sound exactly the same when we talk. But we're just all very different, you know, that kind of way. She's a nurse and has like a real job and stuff and lives in Australia.
Come on, you've got like a real job.
She's an adrenaline junkie. She jumps out of planes and stuff like that.
That's not for you?
Absolutely not. No, I get like, I was talking about this. I don't need adrenaline. I don't need high thrill. My adrenaline starts pumping if I'm like, if the bus is in 2 minutes and I'm a 1 minute walk away. Do you know what I mean? Like I start to go like that. So jumping out of a plane, I'd probably just die. Do you know what I mean? Okay. I just like pass out in the air and not come back to life, I think.
What if someone made you walk the plank out of a plane?
I'd be grand, actually. I'd be like, well, I'd just be ready to die at that point. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
If someone was like, walk the plank out of a plane, I wouldn't do it slowly. I'd just lob myself out and be like, let's go.
Yeah.
End of life. I've had a good run, do you know?
Yeah. I think if I had to accept it at that point, I'd maybe just leg it down the plank.
Yeah.
Have one last hurrah.
Leg it down the plank and have a good look at the scenery, you know.
Yeah,
hopefully you get thrown off a plane in like a nice location, do you know what I mean? And you don't spin out so that you die before you hit the ground. You know the way some people do that? They jump out of a plane and they go blah, 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 and they're right on their head, like disconnects from their body or whatever.
Yeah, I wouldn't want to do that.
No.
You want to have a look.
Jumped off the plank from the plane and then you landed on another plank coming out of a pirate ship. What if that happened? And you walked the plank twice.
I mean, surely that plank would just split you in half.
Yeah,
you speed
think.
You're going at.
Yeah,
you know
it'd be like
I mean?
Sitting on a Spanish donkey.
Yeah, yeah.
Hey!
I'll read your menu back to you now, see how you feel about it.
Okay.
You would like still water. Mm-hmm. You would like a French baguette with a flight of Bordier butter. Starter, you would like buttered parmesan, artichoke and broccolini.
Butter?
Fried. Battered. Sorry, there's so much
we're
butter.
We're thinking about butter.
Yeah,
we're
on this menu
butter.
That
we'll
I thought,
we'll
surely
that for
they're
well.
Buttered.
Yeah. Yeah.
Main course, risotto with poached salmon and mussels from 24 Le Restaurant in Paris.
Paris? No one's ever said Paris before.
Side dish, butter beans, cooked in stock and butter. Drink, well, we've got the Chablis here for all the courses, but then with the dessert, you're going to bring out the Cool Swan because you're having Christmas bread and butter pudding a la Nigella Lawson with steaming hot custard.
Steaming hot custard.
That sounds really good.
Yeah.
I would definitely want that bread and butter pudding and definitely want that main course.
I want all of it.
Oh, yeah, all of it would be nice.
Yeah.
Those two are like...
I want the Bordier butter.
Yeah.
Straight away.
Actually, yeah.
Yeah.
I want that body.
I mean, before...
Do you just get loads of SponCon food, like Sentias, for doing all this?
Yeah.
That's my
quite
dream.
Often. What do you want?
I want all of the food that I just... I definitely want Bordier butter.
I'm not sure I can't see Bordier getting in contact and sending some butter over. Mm.
No, they're too exclusive. That's why it's special.
I reckon the Cool Swan people might get in contact with you.
Cool Swan, people of County Waterford. My nanny is Noreen Lanigan, and she's from Dungarvan, and... let me tell you, original name Noonan. If you don't send me some bottles of Cool Swan for plugging you so hard, my family be after you.
Yeah.
Mm. There's about 75 million of them in County Waterford, so be careful.
Lovely.
Started well. I think they probably...
Lovely threat.
Yeah. I feel like they might have sent you some stuff originally, and then you said that your family are going to be after them.
Okay, yes. I take it back. I love you.
And listen, if the people at Whitaker's Chocolate are listening, if you don't send me some fucking chocolate, I'm going to send my dad round your house, and he's going to fucking stab you in the kneecaps with a screwdriver.
And if there's any pirates listening, please don't make us...
Do not make me want to plug. I would hate it, please.
Thank you so much for coming to the Dream Restaurant, C-Matt.
Thank you, C-Matt.
There we are, James. A great menu from C-Matt.
A delicious menu. No danger of KFC coming up in that menu. You surprised yourself with a cough then, didn't you?
I did. I can't believe that happened.
You didn't know you were going to cough, and you coughed and you looked all confused, like a baby who sneezed for the first time.
We've just had lunch, so I think we're all a bit tired.
You think?
Yeah.
That's what it is?
Yeah. A little baby.
Why are we saying we're all a bit? I mean, it's just you.
Yeah, man. I'm tired.
Yeah. You did a cough that surprised yourself, but... C-Matt didn't choose KFC.
No.
Kentucky Fried Chicken.
Kentucky Fried Chicken.
And chose some absolutely delicious dishes. And Crazy Mad, for me,
is out now.
Thank you so much, C-Matt, for coming on the podcast. Wonderful stories. And, you know, I would say at some point, if we can get the Butter Man on the podcast, make that episode happen.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a lot of people that C-Matt talked about who I'd like to get on the podcast.
Willie. That's the first time we've ever said Willie at the same time.
No, it's not.
Oh, yeah. Thank you very much to C-Matt. We will see you again sometime soon. Goodbye.
Bye.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hi, I'm Lucy Beaumont.
And guess what? I'm Sam Campbell. If you enjoy... There's another podcast just coming out. Oh, no, the podcast is out now.
Yeah. If people have enjoyed Off Menu, will they enjoy Lucy and Sam's Perfect Brains? I don't know.
there's a bit of crossover. We talk about maybe, you know, a couple of food issues. We talk about cutlery, and that's near food. We reckon it's out now. Not soon, it's now.
Is it on all the platforms?
Oh, it absolutely is. If you like James and if you love Ed, you might get a kick out of this. But yeah, again, no pressure. But yeah, this one is coming. This one's out now. Lucy and Sam's Perfect Brands.